From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, November 8th, 2018. And on this day, election officials are gathering ballots for ranked choice tally in the 2nd Congressional District. And we'll look at how the renewable energy sector is reacting to the election of Janet Mills for governor. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
As state election officials begin gathering ballots for a ranked choice voting count in Maine's 2nd Congressional District race, Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin's campaign released a statement asserting that he won the first round. As Steve Missler reports, Poliquin's statement increases speculation that the incumbent will challenge the constitutionality of Maine's ranked choice voting law if he loses the election to Democrat Jared Golden in the runoff tabulation.
According to results compiled by the Associated Press as of Thursday afternoon, Poliquin led Golden by more than 1,600 votes, with more votes to be counted in roughly 30 towns. But it's becoming mathematically impossible for either Golden or Poliquin to accumulate enough votes to exceed the 50% threshold required to win under Maine's ranked choice voting law. And that, says Maine Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, is why his office began the process of transporting all the ballots to Augusta for a ranked choice runoff that will tabulate how voters rank the four candidates in the race, a count that will ultimately determine the winner.
If it were to happen that we had a majority result where one of the candidates went over 50%, that would stop this process. We don't foresee that happening.
Dunlap isn't sure how long it will take to gather all the ballots. In the June primary, it took election officials about 8 days to conduct the runoff. But even if the tabulation goes quickly this time, the outcome could be challenged in court. Three candidates, Golden and Independents Tiffany Bond and Will Hoare, have said they'll accept the results, while Poliquin has sidestepped the question. Meanwhile, political observers are crunching the numbers and speculating about the outcome. Some believe second and third place votes for Bond and Hoare could vault Golden to victory. But that will largely depend on how many voters who selected either of the independents also rank the other candidates. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Many in Maine's energy industry are cheering the election of Janet Mills for governor and a Democratic takeover of the legislature. Renewable energy advocates are perhaps the loudest after contending with numerous roadblocks Governor Paul LePage put in the sector's way during his tenure. Fred Bever has more.
In an interview before the election, Mills promised a new direction on energy policy, beginning with her own cabinet.
I would elevate the energy office to a cabinet-level position. That would be one of my goals because I think it's so important, and it crosses all strata of demographics in Maine, the need for lower energy costs, the need for more modern energy sources.
Under outgoing Governor Paul LePage, the development of many such modern energy sources, land-based wind, offshore wind, solar power, have been suppressed or sidelined. Developers now are preparing for a more benign or even encouraging environment.
As an industry at large, over the last 8 years, there's been about $3 billion worth of investment that's been standing by, waiting to come into Maine, very eager to come into Maine for renewable energy.
Paul Williamson is a principal with Apex Clean Energy, a solar and wind power developer that's had a tough time moving projects forward under LePage, stymied most recently by a moratorium he imposed on all wind projects in the state. Now, Williamson says, the company's $200 million Downeast wind project in Washington County will seek permits to break ground as early as next year.
Really excited to work with Janet Mills and her administration in formulating next steps that allow this investment to happen. And I think it's beyond simply our project and our industry.
The executive director of the Maine Renewable Energy Association, Jeremy Payne, agrees. And he says it won't be just Democrats that will be part of the new energy picture. During the LePage era, he says, the governor's anti-renewables attitude cast a pall over the entire Republican caucus.
The ideology and the governor's aggressive huffing and puffing about how bad renewables are clearly impacted the ability to have reasonable discourse around energy for the last 8 years.
One lawmaker who saw several attempts to improve the prospects for building out solar power in Maine vetoed by Governor LePage, Bodenham Representative Seth Berry, says he expects that a breakthrough is now likely.
Whether it's a bipartisan bill from 3 years ago or the bipartisan bill from 1 and 2 years ago that we worked on that came so close to overriding the governor's veto, I'm quite sure that we will move forward and take advantage of this great job creation opportunity that solar represents for Maine.
And some observers say things will change, not just because LePage will be off the scene, but because with the election of Mills, voters were sending a clear message. They want action on climate change.
I think what we've seen in Maine for the first time is an actual effect on the outcome of a statewide election of policies on climate change.
Tony Buxton represents a coalition of large energy users, such as paper mills called the Industrial Energy Consumers Group. He notes that during the campaign, an environmental group, the Maine Conservation Voters, launched a television and social media effort that emphasized the threat climate change poses to coastal economies and the lobster industry.
That ad ran a lot, and I think if you look at the vote for Janet Mills, it was highest along the coast and diminished as you go further inland.
Buxton is one of many stakeholders who will be closely watching Mills' early moves on energy issues, particularly around Central Maine Power's proposal to build a billion-dollar transmission line in Maine. The line would cut a 50-mile swath through the forests of western Maine to bring low-polluting hydropower from Canada to customers in Massachusetts. Buxton's group supports the project. So does Governor LePage. But during the campaign, Mills was skeptical. The day after her election, she told Maine Public Radio that at the least, she wants LePage, who's had recent contacts with Hydro-Québec and CMP's parent company, to leave the negotiations to her.
This is not for him to do. I think it's for the next governor, which I expect to be on January 3rd, to make sure that the people of Maine are heard, to make sure that if there's a deal cut, the people of Maine get the best possible deal. And I expect to be at the table.
Mills can also expect lobbying from all sides on the CMP project and on key appointments, too. That new cabinet-level energy office she says she'll create, for instance, and appointments to the environmental and utility agencies that will regulate Maine's energy industry in the coming Mills era. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.